free expression or all that. Basically, if you're loitering within the definitions we already know that are legal, if you are trespassing, if you are doing something you're otherwise unsupposed to do, which happens a lot of times with the solicitation and the panhandling, that's what you should be cited for, not panhandling. That's the recommendation.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add, Chief?
I guess just in summary, I mean, there's a lot of levers that we can pull, just like Cliff said, to handle that type of quality of life behavior. We can also marchman act people if they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol and they can't control their behavior and they're a threat to themselves. We can Baker act people if they're mentally ill and they're a threat to themselves or a threat to others. So we have a lot of levers that we can pull that doesn't put the town in jeopardy.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, is that I'm all for being prudent and responsible, especially when we have other options. So that's my opinion. Anyone else? Everyone feels the same way?
Do we need to do anything?
Or well, first I have to ask them if they want to say anything out there.
Kind of like a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, we will be, if it's approved, no, we will repeal
I did hear
our
that
stuff.
Daytona Pete is finally deciding to appeal it. I did hear that, but that's the only thing I've heard
Daytona.
Since then. It's an ordinance that Daytona Beach put together from a gentleman that came from San Antonio,
right.
Came into there and built the ordinance that he felt was foolproof. But, you know, you pick your judge and you're an attorney, you know. And it happened. And so they finally have decided, if I understand them correctly, that they are going to appeal that court's ruling. But that's how long down the road, Cliff?
I think that
we have to protect ourselves.
We're fine.
Now.
Yeah, we're good. Is anyone in the audience wish to have a comment or ask a question about this? Okay. Do we just give you the instruction to? You need a motion. What do you need?
If y'all are giving a directive.
We are.
I can get told by Mr. Disher to write a please.
Yeah, that's it. Consensus more than that. Unanimous. Please have our attorney repeal that.
Will do.
Thank you. Chief, thank you. And I believe we're now down to comments by the council. Vice Mayor Smith, what would you like to share?
This is food for thought, and this goes back to the wonderful, where do the power lines go, in the air or underground? And when I worked for Broward County as the Director of Project Management and Construction for the Public Works Department, I had the opportunity to be in the EOC during every hurricane, and I happened to sit next to the FPNL rep. And I think you've probably heard parts of this before, but it is the food for thought. And they, having many discussions with this person, they are not opposed to underground as long as it's dry underground. The issue with us, who has a very high water table and we are wet all the time, is that if the overhead line goes bad, they know where it is, they see where it is, they can get it fixed quickly. If it's underground and it gets too much water, and something happens to it underground, you can't find it, and the outage is much longer. So with overhead, you probably have more outages for a lot less time, each one. If it's underground and you have an outage, it's going to take a long time to get it back. And so before you want to do that, FPNL is not too excited about putting them in wet areas, and that's us.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. And I think that will be, you know, the discussion, because people have brought it to our attention for years. We know that. You talk about this about every 18 months. And, you know,
it sounds pretty good.
You do. Yes. Thank you, Gary. Okay. Councilman Villanella.
Well, just another exciting meeting. but wishing everyone have a great coming week and a great coming month.
Thank you. Councilmember White.
I have a few things. I know it's a shock, in all hurry.
Joe's giving me his time. A couple things real quick. I did have a conversation with Jessica Fentress on Tuesday night regarding any updates on the sand replenishment renourishment stockpile program. Jessica stated to me that Army Corps of Engineers is due in here on November 4th. They'll be actually here in Ponce at the end of Beach Street on the ramp. She did cordially invite me to attend, which I plan on doing. She has to get approval from the Corps of Engineers if I can come or not. But anyway, right now they'll look at November 4th to come in and do another assessment and then hopefully start building the pipe. So I think that's very important. Last two things I have. Today's council meeting is actually my one-year anniversary on the Ponce Senate Town Council. The year's gone by very fast, I must say, and I've really enjoyed working with my fellow council members, all the town staff and employees. One promise I made during my campaign was that if elected, I would voice my thoughts, concerns, and have respectful discussion with my fellow council members, and if we disagreed, we'd make the best possible decision for the town of Ponce Inlet, and we'd walk out the doors as one council and support the final decision. I hope I fulfilled that promise. The other thing I did, and this is a little different, and Michael, thank you and staff for doing it. I asked Mike, I need some feedback. I need feedback from every staff member and employees if they so choose. I said, I feel it's very important that I understand what staff feels my strengths and weaknesses are. I firmly believe you cannot be the best at what you do unless you understand where you are and your areas that need to be improved. And Michael, thank you for that. I call it my report card. And this is my report card here. So if any staff member or any resident wants it, contact Michael. I'm happy to say I'd be dancing in the streets in school because I actually got an A-. So my mom would be extremely proud of that. But the good thing that they did for me, they listed my strengths. They also areas of improvement. And it's really funny because they're right. The areas of improvement that they talked about were dead on. And I let Jane look at it, and she laughed, and she says, wow, they know you pretty well. So, again, thank you for that. It meant a lot to me. And my closing statement is my next report card will be August in 2025 on Election Day. Thank you.
I'm going to try and make it quick. A couple things. First, I want to thank the town for and the employees for everything they did during Milton. But to add to the at the Pica Center next Thursday, there's going to be a wine tasting function. Starts at 5:30. There's a brochure right back there. But I just want to make one note. I went over the other day to pay my $90, and you have to sign up. And my wife and I were number 9 and 10. Just so that you know, out of the top 10, 6 of the people that signed up were your town council and significant others. So that's kind of scary when you're thinking about it. We're the first boozers in the group. All right, the next thing, we are now carrying about 95 people daily at the shelter. We were a hurricane shelter, and the police brought in 26 additional people. So we had, 29, I'm sorry, and we had 124 people there during the storm. And two police officers assigned, and it really worked out well. But here's the kicker: most shelters have Red Cross control. Well, the Red Cross came to our shelter, and they left, and left the executive director and the staff to run the shelter for the hurricane, which is extremely unusual. Because one of the comments I made is when we had our meeting is. My school was a hurricane shelter, and we were a special ed shelter and a regular hurricane shelter, and here's my keys, I had to leave. The only person that was allowed to stay was my head custodian. But I thought it was extremely interesting because they did a great job, and this is a follow-up. You know, our press lately has not been positive in the newspaper, but Bank of America every year selects a neighborhood champion, and it's called the Neighborhood Champions Award. And it's a $50,000 grant, and they give out 44 across the entire United States. First Step Shelter got one of those awards. And all the board members knew, but the executive director didn't. So we all showed up, well, five of us showed up yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, and we're all there, and here comes Bank of America to present the award, and she was floored, and she needed something good to happen lately. One last thing, we had a person whose ulcer burst, and we took them over. They brought him into the shelter, and she had anxiety, bipolar disorder, hypertension, pulmonary embolism, rheumatoid arthritis, and an ulcer, and when she was there for 5 months, her ulcer burst, and she is, we finally, September of this year, she is now living on her own in a house. So wow. I don't know how many times I've said this, and I'm going to say it every month until I'm no longer on this council. Thank you for participating with the shelter, because it really, really works. And we're getting more people coming into the safe zone because of the panhandling ordinance in Daytona Beach not being used.
Thank you, Bill. A few comments. The legislative session for 2025 will begin next March 2025. However, in preparation of ensuring that the needs of our town will be heard, a number of activities are currently occurring. First, the council will be asked at a future meeting to consider new appropriation requests. Our manager will be speaking with our lobbyist, Sunrise Consulting Group, and our state representative, Chase Tramont, and Senator Tom Wright. In December, as your mayor, I have the opportunity to present our requests then to the Volusia delegation of state elected officials so that the Volusia state representatives and senators hear our requests, the requests of the local officials in this county, and those that will include the appropriation requests we will be packaging for introduction at the next legislative session. And in addition to that work, I want to share that, as you know, this town is a member of the American Flood Coalition, and it's a national nonpartisan organization. It addresses flood mitigation adaptation policies. I sit as a member of their executive board, and we met this week to discuss current federal legislation that is designed not only to provide money to the states for distribution to the local governments, but we also discussed their advocacy at trying to work to streamline the different federal grants that are out there and navigate FEMA, which we all know can be incredibly complicated. And then on behalf of the town, I attended the Florida League of Mayors Conference in Daytona Beach, along with our Patty Rippey, she's not here now, and a representative of our business community for a roundtable discussion, and it permitted extensive networking with other mayors. And when you find a mayor similarly situated, which I did, you know, a small coastal community, Barrier Island, you really can discuss best practices with them. It was very helpful. And I would be remiss if I did not share with you that our elected officials did reach out personally to me. From U.S. Senator Rick Scott, Representative Chase Tramont, County Councilman Matt Reinhart, the County Council, they did reach out just to see what they could do to help, how we were doing. Their concern was evident, and their attempts to help pave the way for assistance that was extremely helpful, and it was very comforting, to be honest. It was very nice to have them reach in and just call me. So with that, I think we move on now to our town manager.
Mayor, did you want to mention the League of Cities and your appointment?
Oh, I forgot. Yes, thank you so much, Mike. Yes, I was just appointed on the advocacy committee with the Florida League of Cities, and as a member, what we do is I bring to them the needs, the issues of Ponce Inlet, and when it comes to any current legislation, I bring to them all of the data to share how would this piece of legislation impact us adversely or positively or in a positive way, and it's an excellent committee with the Florida League because it does give us access in a different way to many of the representatives. So thank you, Mike. I forgot to say.
One more thing. Did you want to mention the invitation to the Ponce Inlet businesses for the chambers?
Yes, thank you. On October 22nd, there is the Port Orange Chamber, and we're a member now. There is from 9 to 12 o'clock at the chamber across the way, right at Riverside, where they're building their main offices. U.S. Senator Rick Scott's staff will be there to help with assistance for businesses. Certainly they're not going to turn you away as an individual if you go, but it's designed to help with the federal grants and funding and assistance. Did I miss anything else, Mike?
I think that's got it.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, yeah, a few things here. So first of all, I just want to make sure our finance department, they've made our application to FEMA for public assistance. That's so we can get as much reimbursement as we can for this. We're not expecting a ton just because we fortunately did not get a ton of damage. And, you know, in fact, we're trying to look to ways to make sure we meet our deductible, you know, for different properties. So we're very fortunate here, but nonetheless, we're documenting everything, including staff hours, equipment, all that stuff. Some updates in debris hauling. As Chief Scales had mentioned, we are working with our hauler, that's Crowder Gulf. As you know, they are doing this all over the state. So it's been kind of a challenge to get them to commit on when they might be coming in and then how long it's going to take. So that's still in progress. What we believe, though, is that they're going to be here starting next Wednesday. Now, in the meantime, Waste Pro is still doing their normal pickup. So if that, and that's going to help reduce the amount that's there. Waste Pro will pick up anything that's in bags. The big logs and branches and stuff that's unbagged, that's what Crowder Gulf will pick up along with debris. If there's any appliances and large things that have furniture that has to get thrown out, they'll pick up all that stuff. We're also looking with Waste Pro and potentially see if they can help supplement that in some way. So these are still ongoing. Like I said, these haulers are working Hurricane Helene. They're working in the rest of Florida, so they're just only now able to get to here next week. In the meantime, the county has opened up its landfill 12 hours a day, so residents can take them themselves or hire someone to do that. So that option is always there. And just remember to keep it separate. It's like you're recycling. If you mix it up, then they won't pick it up. That's what I'm saying. If you make a big pile with a bunch of stuff in it, then they're not going to pick it up. It has to be separated. Okay, let's see, another thing, the community center roof repairs, you remember me telling you about that, there was some sort of leak or something which caused part of the meeting room ceiling to cave in. We have a contractor coming that's been selected, they'll be applying for a permit this week. Next thing, the police department is offering its women's self-defense class on October 23rd, and residents can sign up by calling or emailing Dana Sexton at the police station. And last thing, I want to thank Barbara Davis and her crew of volunteers who are helping to restore the native vegetation out here on the east side of our town hall property right here along the dunes. They're going to be removing weeds. They've already started doing that. And then they're going to be installing over 600 new plants, according to a landscape plan, all native vegetation. That's going to happen the last week in October. That's it.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff, anything?
One other thing. I'd send you that thing today about the notice about the pickleball courts and the fence from the cell tower that was kind of leaning over. Chief Scales has an update on that.
This is very important. As you know, we suffered some damage at the cell tower enclosure, and it's worse than we thought. Crown Castle has already been on site. Contractors already looked at it. They're basically going to replace the whole south and north fence panel, which is about 30 feet tall, which means that two of the courts are going to have to be closed until that gets repaired. The contractor will be here Tuesday to start the repairs, and it's probably going to take 3 days to get everything taken care of. So we're looking at a week of closure, but they're on it. We're going to get it taken care of. And it's kind of a mixed blessing because we've been beating them up for about a year saying that there was a problem with the fence, and they said, it's fine. Well, it's not fine anymore. So it'll be fixed next week. Just wanted to make sure you all knew about it. So if you get questions from the public, you have that information. And if anybody has any questions, they can call Steve Orgo. And I love saying that. So
thank you. Thank you, Dan. Cliff?
And I did not see the chief out there knocking those fence panels down. I didn't see it because I know that didn't happen. No, I have no report. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're down to our last citizen participation, 2 minutes on anything that was just discussed now, our comments. Does anyone have anything they wish to say? Seeing none, 519, we are adjourned.
No, Robert Bullard wasn't here.
I know.